The Bible says in Luke chapter 2, verse 7 to 14, "And Mary brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And though the angel of the Lord came upon them, and all the glory of the Lord shone around them, they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men."
It's one of the most attested facts in history that there was a man called Jesus Christ, that he grew up in Nazareth, that he was born in Bethlehem, and that he performed miracles, and that he preached, and that he taught, and then he was crucified on a cross. History tells us that there was a man called Jesus Christ. In fact, even whenever we think of our own calendar, that this is the year 2006. I'm not sure if any of the older ones or younger ones have ever considered why this is the year 2006 or where the calendar came from. Sometimes years ago we heard older folk talking about the year of our Lord, and then they would have given the year. And we could say tonight that this is the year of our Lord 2006. And so even the calendar that the world uses is traced back to the birth and the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ all those years ago in that stable at Bethlehem. It is a fact that history affirms. But more importantly, it is a fact that the Bible constantly confirms. The only reliable revelation or account or biography that we have tonight of the Lord Jesus Christ is found in this book, the Bible. Now, many, many times in the Old Testament, hundreds, aye, even up to 4,000 years before the Lord Jesus Christ was born in that stable at Bethlehem, the Bible told us this would happen. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. It also tells us in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel." The book of Micah even tells us 500 years before the Lord came into the world, the very city or town that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. All these prophecies, thousands, hundreds of years before the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world, were fulfilled in their entirety. And that is proof positive that the Bible is a reliable account, that it's God-breathed, that God inspired the Scriptures. Now, the Bible says that Jesus Christ would come the first time, and he did. And everything that the Bible said about the Lord Jesus Christ coming into the world, it all came to pass. He was born of a virgin. He was born in Bethlehem. He was from the tribe of Judah. He was from the line of David. And a lot more prophecies beside, all fulfilled with pinpoint accuracy. Now, the Bible also says that Jesus Christ is coming back again. Very simply, the Bible says this. The Lord Jesus Christ said, "I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again." And if everything that the Bible said about the Lord's first coming into the world, whenever he came in as a baby in Bethlehem, if all that happened and all that came to pass, and the Bible says that he's coming again the second time, then we can be absolutely sure that everything the Bible says about the Lord's second coming will come to pass as well. But I just want, in the time that is left tonight, to consider Christ's first coming and Christ's second coming, and think about the differences or the contrasts between Christ coming into the world the first time and that day that will come, and it will come, and it is coming, and it is coming soon. And I want to compare his second coming with his first coming. Now, the first time the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world, he came into the world very quietly. But whenever the Lord Jesus Christ comes back the second time, he will come into the world very loudly. Now, everyone tonight knows that the Lord Jesus was born in a stable in a little town called Bethlehem, which was one of the most insignificant cities at that time, and he was born of a virgin, and very few people were actually there whenever that happened. The Savior's birth was announced before it happened to Joseph, to Mary, and then whenever he was born, just to a handful of disciples, perhaps three, maybe only two, maybe four, we don't know how many, and also a few wise men. And those were the only people that knew that the Lord Jesus Christ had come into the world. You see, he came in so quietly. And he lived for 30 years as the Messiah, as the Son of God. And the world did not realize that Messiah had actually come because he came so quietly. But you know what the Bible says concerning the Lord's second coming? Whenever he comes again, the Bible says every single person on the face of this earth will be conscious that he has come again. Maybe only up to 10 people realize that he'd come the first time. But whenever he comes again, the Bible makes it clear that he will come with a great shout. The Bible says that the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the trump of God, and with the voice of the archangel. And it's the loudest verse in the Bible. And every single person will be conscious that the Lord Jesus Christ has come back again. This event will get the world's attention. First time he came, only a handful of people knew about it. But whenever Jesus Christ comes back again, everybody will know about it. I will know about it. You will know about it. The Chinaman will know about it. The African will know about it. The Eskimos will know about it. Everybody will know that Christ has come back again, because he'll come with a shout and with the trump of God and with the voice of the archangel. And so the first time he came quietly. But whenever he comes back again, he will come very loudly. Now, the first time Jesus Christ came into the world, he came as a baby. You all know that today. Away in a manger, no crib for a bed, the little Lord Jesus lays down his sweet head. He came as a babe in a manger. He was born of a virgin. He came into this world and he was a child, and he just had the same appearance as you and I did whenever we were that age and whenever we were born into the world. But the Bible says whenever he comes the second time, he'll not come as a babe. He will not come as a young man. He'll not come as a teenager. But he will come as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Christ is the King of Israel. And whenever Israel were waiting for their Messiah, they expected him to come as this great military leader. They expected to set up this earthly throne. They expected him to have a great palace. They expected him to be great in battle, and to lead Israel into victory and to slay all their enemies. But whenever he came into the world as a babe, they didn't recognize that. But whenever Christ comes again the second time, he will come as King and he will come as Lord. And the Bible says his appearing will be glorious. The first time Christ came, he came where? Came to a stable. Just an old stable. I'm sure there was none of us were ever born in a stable. Every single person here tonight that is a parent would say no child, regardless of their background, regardless of their creed, regardless of their skin color, regardless of the family that they come from, no child deserves to be born in a stable. But the Son of God was born in a stable. The most humble of circumstances, born in a stable, laid down as a little baby in an old trough that cows would eat out of, wrapped in swaddling clothes, just old bandages. It was all that Mary had to wrap this little baby in. The first time he came to the stable. But the Bible says that whenever he comes the second time, he won't be coming to a stable, but he will be coming to a place in Israel called the Mount of Olives. The Bible says this in Zechariah chapter 14, verse 4. His feet shall stand upon the Mount of Olives. Christ ascended into heaven from the Mount of Olives. And dear friend, tonight that's where he's returning to. You turn on your television. You watch the news. What are in the news headlines tonight? Israel. Open up the newspapers. What's in the headlines? Israel. Turn on your radio. What's in the news headlines? Israel. Think of the Second World War and ever since it. What has been at the forefront of the world's media? Israel. Why is it that the world has its attention on Israel? Why is it that the world hates Israel? Because I'll tell you, God has a special plan and God has a special purpose for Israel. Because that's where the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back to. The first time Christ came, he was hidden from the world. But whenever Christ comes again, he will be revealed to the entire world. We have already said that only a few people saw him. Just a few shepherds, just a few wise men from Persia, and of course his parents, Mary and Joseph. But you know whatever the Bible says, he comes again the second time. The Bible says every eye shall see him. Now I'm sure tonight that there are people in this meeting that have got absolutely no intention of looking for Christ in this world or in the world which is to come. You have no intention of waiting for the Messiah to come back again. Your eyes aren't to the heavens. Your eyes aren't to the signs of the times. Your eyes aren't to the Scripture. And whenever Christ comes again, you will want to see him. You'll not be looking for him. But the Bible makes it clear that every single eye shall see him. Revelation chapter 1 verse 7. Every eye shall see him. And whenever every eye shall see him, every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. But those that wait until that day will be too late, because you need to confess Christ as your Savior and your Lord now, tonight, in this meeting. Because whenever you see him face to face, you will not see him as your Savior, but you will see him as your judge. You see, the first time Christ came into this world, he came to die for sinners. Whenever Christ comes again the second time, he is coming to judge sinners. A lot of people tonight say, well, whenever Jesus came, he came to set up a religion. Other people say, whenever Jesus Christ came, he came to be a great teacher and a great philosopher. Others say he came to be a martyr. Others say he came to perform miracles. Others say he came to lay down a pattern that we should live by. He did many of these things. But Jesus Christ came into this world for this purpose, to die for sinners. Apostle Paul says, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. He came to seek, and he came to save that which was lost. And dear friend, you're in this meeting tonight. Many of you are converted. Many of you are saved. A lot of you are not saved. You're not Christians. You've never been born again. God loves you. Christ died on the cross for sinners. And you're a sinner. And he offers you mercy tonight. He offers you salvation. He offers you peace. He offers you joy. He offers you contentment. He offers you life tonight. He came into this world for this purpose, that he might die on the cross. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He came the first time to be a Savior for sinners. But whenever Christ comes the second time, he will come to be a judge of sinners. The Bible says in flaming fire, taking vengeance upon all them that know not God and obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the greatest presidents of the United States of America was Abraham Lincoln. Before he rose to the presidency, he was a famous lawyer and barrister, and he went on to become a great judge in the land. Whenever he was a younger man, he witnessed a man that was drowning in a river, and Abraham Lincoln rescued that man. And that man went on, and many, many years later, he went on to commit a terrible crime of murder. And of course, he was found out. You see, the Bible says, be sure your sin will find you out. And this young man went to the court, and he stood before the judge, and he recognized that the judge was Abraham Lincoln, the man that had saved his life many years before. And he says, oh, Mr. Lincoln, perhaps you remember me. He says, you saved me from the water that day. He says, could you not save me today from the penalty of the law? And Abraham Lincoln said, no, I can't. Whenever I saved you that day, yes, I stood as your Savior. But this day, you're guilty of breaking the law, and today I stand as your judge. You see, before the Savior returns, he can save you from sin. But whenever Christ comes back again the second time, he cannot save you. The first time he was clothed with swaddling rags. But whenever he comes again, he will be clothed with majesty. Whenever Jesus Christ came into this world the first time, he was made like you and me. The Bible says he was made in the likeness of sinful flesh. For this reason was the Son of Man manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. That means God became a man, just like you and me. He lived in this world. He underwent temptation. He underwent trial. He underwent persecution. He felt pain in his body. He felt the betrayal of friends. And in such, he knows what we go through in the trials of life. And therefore, he can identify with us. But you know, whenever he comes again the second time, he will not be made like us, but those of us who have trusted him shall be made just like him. The Bible says, it doth not appear yet what we shall be, but we know that whenever he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Whenever Christ died, he rose again in a glorified body. He ascended into heaven in a glorified body, and he will return in that same body. And the Bible says, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, he shall change our vile bodies that it might be fashioned like unto his glorious body. Now, I'm sure tonight, if everybody in this meeting looks at the body that you have got, there's things that you would love to change. Some of you would maybe, I'll not go into the details, not offend anybody, but I know if I could change something, it would be my teeth. I seem to spend a fortune. I went to the dentist recently. I needed to get 4 fillings, and he even threatened to take a tooth out. I'll tell you, I'd love to get a new set of teeth tonight, but I can't. But there's a day coming whenever Jesus Christ returns, and because I have trusted him, he shall change this body, and it'll be free from pain. It'll neither sorrow no more. It'll be free from sin and all the corruption that sin brings. The first time Christ came, he came alone. He left heaven alone. He came into this world alone. He lived alone. He had no place to lay his head. He went to the cross alone. All his disciples forsook him and fled. And on the cross, he suffered and he died alone because God the Father forsook him because our sin was laid upon him. First time he came alone. But the second time he comes, the Bible says he will come with all of his holy angels. And there are so many of them that we couldn't even begin to count them. 10,000s times 10,000s and thousands of thousands, says the Bible, an innumerable host of angels, and they'll also come with his saints. You see, we will rise to meet him in the air. The Bible says the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And then we will usher Christ back to the earth, where he will judge the world in righteousness whenever he comes. You know, some people think that they have got plenty of time. And they'll say, well, you know what? I understand, preacher, what you're saying. I know that he came the first time. I know that he's coming the second time. And I sometimes think about becoming a Christian. And I'm sure tonight every person in this meeting that isn't yet a Christian, whether you're 5 years old or whether you're 85 years old, you could honestly say, well, you know, I thought about it. But you could die thinking about it. And you could be in hell for all eternity thinking about it. D.L. Moody, one of the most famous preachers that was ever born in America, one day encouraged his congregation. He says, listen, I would encourage you, plead with you, go home and think about getting right with God. Think about getting saved. These things need serious thought. And before D.L. Moody returned to his pulpit the following Sunday, a great fire swept across that whole city of Chicago. And many, many people lost their lives. And D.L. Moody came to his pulpit the following Sunday. And he says, I need to make a sincere apology. He said, last Lord's Day, I told people to go home and to consider and to meditate and to think about salvation. And look at what has happened in the last week. Thousands have perished in this great fire. And he says, I vow before the Lord never to tell someone to think about getting saved. The Bible never tells you to think about getting saved. The Bible says, repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. Behold, now is the accepted time, and now is the day of salvation. The first time Christ came, his own people would not receive him. But whenever Christ comes again the second time, he will receive his own people. The Bible says in John chapter 1 verse 11, he came to his own. That was the people of Israel, the Jewish people. And his own received him not. The Bible says whenever he comes again the second time, he says, whenever I come again, I will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Have you received Christ as your Savior? The Jewish people didn't. They rejected him. And you say, oh, preacher, you know, I'm not a Christian, but I believe tonight, and I believe the Bible, and I believe in God, and no, I haven't received him, but I certainly haven't rejected him. Well, by your not receiving him is to reject him. If somebody came to my door, said to me, can I come into your home? And I said, no, you can't, not tonight, and closed the door, would that not be rejecting them? And here God tonight offers you mercy. He offers you salvation. He offers you life. He offers you forgiveness. And you say tonight, well, perhaps some other time I'll receive him, but not tonight. It's exactly the same as rejecting him. But the Bible says, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Just one final thought. The first time Christ came, the time of his birth was foretold by the prophet Daniel. Tells us this in Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 and 25. And most people that would comment on that verse would say this is a prophecy. You can read it when you go home. Daniel 9, 24 and 25 is a prophecy concerning the Lord's first coming. But you know the date concerning the Lord's second coming? The Lord Jesus Christ said, of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels, but my Father in heaven. And there have been many, many people that have said they believe the Bible and have tried to fix a date upon the day whenever the Lord Jesus Christ will return. But nobody knows when that day will be. Some of the cults have tried to put a date on it. I remember whenever as a young student at school, about 12 years of age, I was sitting in our woodwork class, and everybody was fearful because they felt that the end of the world was coming because some religious person had said the world will end on such and such a date. And I remember that day, everybody sitting in the classroom, counting down, I think it was about 12 o'clock, and of course absolutely nothing happened because nobody knows that day or hour whenever Christ will come. What if he was to come tonight? Be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. A lot of Christians would say, well, certainly he couldn't come tonight, or he couldn't come this year, or he couldn't come next year. Reminds me of a Bible college lecturer who went around every student in his class and said, be honest, do you believe that the Lord Jesus Christ could return today? And one by one, some said, well, I don't think so. Probably not. I think not. Well, maybe not for a few more years. And then he quoted that verse, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Everything that the Bible said about the Lord's first coming, no less than 400 years before it happened, everything came to pass. And dear friends, tonight the Bible says that he is coming again to judge the world and to receive his own. And everything that the Bible says about the Lord's second coming will come to pass as well. Time some of you were saved. Be also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Let's turn, please, together, 51.